blessings
of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. deeply about to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibited precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma. And I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings, dutyambi tatyambi sabaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. and suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer so we can drop that and end suffering.
Reminder that Sunday morning groups are recorded and made available to monthly donors. What shall we look at this morning? Karen.
So good to be here. Mm-hmm. And coming off the New Year's retreat is like a soft landing.
Yeah. Yeah, truly, huh? It's great good fortune to essentially go from retreat to retreat. Mm-hmm. Yeah, to just stay right in that.
I saw this fantastic process some time ago here, and conditioning. When I saw it and experienced it, it's like, yes, I want to bring this up and let everyone hear about it. Mm-hmm. And then conditioning said, well, it's so shallow.
Oh, so shallow.
You know, your practice is so shallow. Why bring that up? So
you know that's the one.
Yes, and actually it's helped me that a lot, and I've just seen through that projection completely. Yes. In this experience.
Yeah. The projection of how shallow ego is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Precisely.
Yeah.
What a good reminder.
Yes. Yeah. I haven't seen it. Yeah. I was,
Right, and again, going with that, you know, it's always telling us the opposite. Why would it be talking to us about how shallow it is if it truly was? Mm-hmm. If it truly was shallow, it would just be back there quiet. Oh, good, she's on the shallow,
that's
so
right.
We don't need to say anything.
Okay, so this is about the privileged environment and what I saw, how the keeping the schedule really supports the privileged environment and, mm-hmm. and being on time and what that looks like.
Mm-hmm.
So I was absorbed in an activity, a practice activity, and mm-hmm. was not aware of the time and the schedule, and then it dropped in, 5:30 meditation.
Uh-huh.
So there was this scramble mm-hmm. to, you know, get out the door mm-hmm. and all the things that went on with that. And, mm-hmm. oh my gosh, the socks and the urgency start to build. And mm-hmm. okay, I'll just fill in the porch. Oh, it's too cold. And mm-hmm. okay, well, you know, all that. And then coming here, what I saw was just whatever lack of presence that I experience, it's hard mm-hmm. to describe it,
mm-hmm.
really doesn't contribute to the privileged environment.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
That urgency, that
uh-huh.
getting here, that, I mean,
uh-huh.
a lot of aspects of it have dropped in since I experienced it, and they're not coming up right now, so uh-huh. I'm just saying what's coming up
yeah.
for me now.
Yeah, so in other words, it sounds like, so you were doing a practice activity, and that all the attention sort of got shrunk down to that one thing, it sounds like. Mm-hmm. So there was a little bit of a losing of awareness of the time, of what time it was. But then it dropped in. 5:36. And so then there was some kind of moving quickly to get there, and you saw some urgency. Conditioning start to kind of plug in some urgency there. And that what you're seeing is that following the schedule is really an assistance for practice and for the privileged environment. And you're looking at kind of the relationship between that and that narrowing down of attention that can happen.
Mm-hmm. And that place of being 5 minutes early, mm-hmm. that is really what our practice of being on time.
Yeah.
And we say that,
yeah.
we hear that, and I really have experience of
yeah.
how that assists
where
the privileged environment.
Yeah.
And how it's a very subtle, well, maybe it's not so subtle how it assists the privileged environment, but it's not just, it's practice for all of us. So
uh-huh.
someone's running in here, and,
yeah.
and even if no one notices,
right.
I notice it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know?
It's a very different sort of energy, if you will, mm-hmm. of, okay, it's time for meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Put my socks here, put on my meditation socks, and come in the door and sit down versus that, oh, God, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that keeping the schedule, and part of the schedule is having plenty of time to get seated in meditation before the bell rings, that's really an assistance for the privileged environment. And what's so neat about the way you lay it out is that, you know, it's that place of life unfolding perfectly, there are no mistakes, because in that, quote, being late, you got to actually have the experience of what the guideline is pointing at.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of just following it as a rule, mm-hmm. okay, well, we're supposed to be 5 minutes early, in that whole experience of sort of losing track of time, and then being, it sounds like having quite a bit of consciousness through that whole process,
mm-hmm.
really seeing
mm-hmm.
how that played out and how that felt and mm-hmm. the difference between that and when you are, you know, have plenty of time, that you got to actually see why that guideline, kind of what it's pointing at.
Yes. I mean, the minute it dropped in, the awareness went, shoo.
Uh-huh.
And because I saw all the steps, because it wasn't like someone just ran in here blindly, not knowing what she was doing.
Right.
You know, there was, every step of the way, there was, yeah. oh, making the choice.
Yes.
And even if I thought, well, okay, the bell might ring, I mean, you know, mm-hmm. I might get stopped at the door, well, we'll just see.
Then we'll, yeah, exactly. Then we'll get stopped at the door.
It wasn't even articulated that way, but
yeah.
everything was, you know, seeing it all so
yeah.
fast. And, So.
And what's fun in that is that, you know, we talk about we have many guidelines, but only one rule. What did
yes.
you just see?
And not to make a standard of it.
Exactly.
Or an ideal.
Exactly. Exactly.
This was just one experience.
Yeah.
And it has a lot to do with being on time. And then in some ways it has nothing to do
yep.
with being on time.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was headed to. There are many guidelines, only one rule.
Yes.
And you were following the one rule.
Uh-huh.
That in all of that happening, just seeing how is suffering caused,
mm-hmm.
so we can drop that in unsuffering.
And it also points to suffering doesn't need to be, it's very subtle.
Yeah, yes.
It doesn't have to feel like
yes.
suffering, but anytime conditioning's in
yeah.
control. Or,
exactly.
You know.
Exactly. Go ahead.
I don't know that there was any suffering in when I woke up and had that expanded
so
awareness, but it was what led, you know, what to make me late.
Yeah, precisely. Precisely, and that's the thing, is
yeah.
that so the awareness is, or we could say the attention is contracted onto the one thing, there's not the awareness there, but then something drops in.
Yeah.
And you made this motion, the awareness immediately expands. And if we don't go to feeling bad,
mm-hmm.
if we don't go to self-hatred, there actually doesn't have to be suffering in any of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's kind of what you describe, here, socks. Open the door. Just keep taking the next step.
Mm-hmm. And one other thing, when I noticed about things dropping in, as I was seeing the process later on, conditioning actually was dropping in some of its mm-hmm. quote unquote non insights, mm-hmm. and
it's commentary.
It's commentary, uh-huh. and that's why it's. I find it so valuable just to wait till I get here and
yes.
let it
yep.
unfold, the
yes.
discussion of it.
Yeah.
Because none of that I can remember. Well, I can remember, oh, I do remember some of this, like really.
Yeah. But I don't need to have any conversation mm-hmm. with that. There's no helpful information there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you.
Jen.
I'm glad to be here too, and I wanted to say that because, you know, ego, there was a great thing about, you know, remembering the way that we get tricked to think that ego is us, and yeah. ego has a running conversation, and it's not blessed to be here.
Yeah.
And it's so funny, it's already doing things like kind of, you know, counting down the days till I get to go home.
Right.
You know, and I know that's not what the, like, the heart is excited to be
yeah.
here, and, you
yeah.
know, did all kinds of things in life to
yeah.
to create this time
exactly.
to be able to be here. And
yeah.
it's so funny to watch that, so I just wanted to know, the heart is really glad to be here
yeah.
despite whatever's going on and all of that.
And that's such a critical, simple tool, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
To just say, oh, ego doesn't want to be here.
Yeah, it's not me.
Ego's on a campaign to go back to its life where
yes.
it can be in charge.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And that in saying that, it has nothing to do with me.
Mm-hmm.
And it, in a way, it opens the door for the shift of attention, doesn't
mm-hmm.
it? It really gives us the space to be back where we know what's so. I've made a lot of choices, shifted a lot of things around to be here.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Yeah, and feeling just such gratitude for, I mean, for everything, you know, there's so much to feel such gratitude for. And in particular, I'm just like regularly moved as we go through the day with the, feels like the generosity of there's so much support, and I'm sure I have, you know, absolutely no idea really, but my sense is that people are so busy and there's so much that everyone is charged with, and yet the there's such kindness and time to, you know, how to really take care of the whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
and I so appreciate that, you know. And I think conditioning was kind of saying like, well, you know, you're only here for a month. I mean, they probably could just give you one job until you get good at that and don't bother to try to teach you anything
yeah.
else.
Pick the lint off the rug and we'll see you in a few weeks. Let us know when that's finished.
Yeah, and it, you know, it feels like it wouldn't bother people as much. They wouldn't have to show me all these things because really, what's the point? And, you know, there's this whole thing.
Yeah.
And you know, it feels sometimes like, you know, probably, I don't know, I project that it could be like, oh my gosh, it's a lot of time for somebody who's here for, you know, in the scheme of things, not really that long of a time. And yet I'm just so grateful for that. I'm so grateful that is set up because I don't know, I'm sure there's so much to see in it, but one of the things, well, I'm so moved by the kindness, but I also feel like, you know, if I'm really learning why we,
yeah.
you know, moisten the towels for the produce, you know, whatever it is,
yeah.
there's a way in which it's modeling like how to care for everything that
yeah.
is something that is, you know, I can take back out into my day-to-day life. Like,
yeah.
there's so much that I'm just so grateful, you know, that there is
yeah.
that kind of time and care given
yeah.
to everything.
Yeah, and I'll bet that it would only be a short step to be able to project what an incredible kindness it is for the folks who have the great good fortune to be in a position to offer that.
Mm.
Right?
Mm.
Because for every
yeah.
one of us in
yeah.
life, how easy it would be to say, oh, this is short term, it's not worth it, I can't care, you know, I've got bigger things to get, bigger things to attend to, but to be required,
mm-hmm.
to be required to be present
mm-hmm.
and to kind of slow down, we could say, but, you know, as you're saying, there can be a misinterpretation of like, well, I have to cut the carrots like this in order to be. So it's not that kind of slowing down, it's the sense of, it's really ego we call it slowing down,
mm-hmm.
but what it is being wholeheartedly present with whatever this is in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
And what's extraordinary about that is that when we are, everything gets attended to in its time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that overwhelm, that busy, that there's so much there, you know, everyone has tons to attend to,
mm-hmm.
can really only happen in a story.
Mm-hmm.
But if we just have this thing, we're with this person, we're training on this thing in
mm-hmm.
this moment,
mm-hmm.
it's amazing how it all expands. And there is time for everything, and all of us are trained
mm-hmm.
to care for whatever's in front of us, which of course is how we want to live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's such a great way to look at it, because it, you know, it wants to go to the sort of like feeling bad, like kind of being a burden,
mm-hmm.
like, you know,
mm-hmm.
taking so much of people's time.
Mm-hmm.
Or so that's such a helpful place to look.
Yeah, what a gift it is to be willing to come and train.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, because we always say on retreats, at the end of retreats, people are saying, oh, thank you so much for offering the retreat. And we're always saying, thank you so much for coming. Because it would be really different if you weren't here.
Yeah, exactly. The peace that everybody offers.
Yeah, truly. That everybody offers.
Yeah. Definitely. So, and just lastly, there are, you know, tons of things that are coming up and I'm looking at. But I'm also just so grateful for this place of looking to the body. There's something in the handbook, and it's been a little bit of the dialogue so far, it seems like, about really caring for the body as the vehicle of awareness. Mm-hmm. And it's just so helpful, because I can see so many times in day-to-day life and here too, where, you know, the body is neglected in service of what conditioning says has to happen.
Right.
And it's so funny, when I read it in the Visiting Monk Handbook, there was kind of like a, what, you know, what, why are we focused? And then, you know, even just watching, it's been like, oh, of course, like, how can there be a focus on what we're doing here without a care for the body?
Truly.
Yeah, so I'm just really excited, because I see that's a place, yeah, the body doesn't get the care that I would wish, and I'm really grateful for a chance to be asked to be participating and doing lots of things. It's not like, here, go to a spa and take care of your body or something. It's not
like
that.
Right.
But I'm so grateful for that chance to have a lot happening, but also be really asked to be paying attention to caring for the body. So.
Yeah. And that it's only in taking the body personally that we would not take care of it. In the sense of, you know, so one of the ways that the monastic environment works, the physical place of the monastery, is we each have areas that we steward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe this month I'm stewarding keeping the kitchen clean, mm-hmm. and I'm stewarding, you know, the outhouses, and part of what each of us is stewarding is this body, because mm-hmm. it's the body that we're inside of.
Yeah.
And so to not see that as, that's the community's kitchen and this is my body.
Yeah.
So this I can neglect because it's mine, and maybe I can decide on a given day that, well, I need to push here and not so much. But if it's not mine, if it's all stewarding what, you know, is my area to steward, and this is just part of it, then it really allows us to have that bigger picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really helpful. Yeah. Yeah. So thank you so much.
Rebecca.
Well, that is beautiful, the whole idea of stewarding the body. And it brings up what I'm looking at is the same way that we can not take our body personally, we can also not take our life personally.
That's
and
big.
It is big. Yeah. Not take one's life personally. And by extension, everything that is dropping in from life all the time, mm-hmm. to not take it personally.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that manifests, or the way the process that karma attaches to that is a sort of a hoarding and stuff management. So, you know, like, to use the image of a hoarder, you know, mm-hmm. that really gets all this stuff. Things are coming in all the time, you know, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't, first of all, I've got to feel bad because I don't really, you know, I'm kind of, you know, wrong for hoarding it. Because I'm not using, there's all this stuff I'm not using, I've been given, and should feel bad and all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, then there's that I, you know, I don't know what to do with all this stuff,
mm-hmm.
and conditioning can really beat me up for
mm-hmm.
having it, not using it,
mm-hmm.
not knowing what to do with it, not
mm-hmm.
telling anybody I have it, because
mm-hmm.
you know, you have to hide,
right?
You know,
yeah.
And all the while being in this primary relationship with
mm-hmm.
conditioning.
Yes. Yeah. Again, to what we said a minute ago, this misunderstanding that's me.
Uh-huh.
That all of that is me, and I'm making those choices, and I'm the wrong person, and I'm this, and I'm that, and I'm... Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, and just one of the beauties of practice and is the invitation and requirement, really, to communicate, to not do that process. Yeah. You know, we bump, we bump up into it often mm-hmm. enough mm-hmm. that it's like, no, say something, say something, right. say something, say something. Mm-hmm. You know, and finally it's like, okay, let me say something. Yeah. And it's such a relief yeah. when that happens.
Yeah, yeah. Know? It's such a kindness to the human. Because the human is trapped back there yes. with ego. And the don't say something is keeping the human in that prison.
Yeah.
So the say something is actually opening the door so that something, you know, practice, guidance can reach through to the person uh-huh. and help free from that ego yeah. prison. Mm-hmm.
And so not only does the human get freed, but she gets to see who she really is. Yeah. She gets to see all of this wonderful stuff that's been coming in.
Right.
That she didn't get to really yeah. appreciate,
yeah.
you know, that
yeah.
in the telling,
yeah.
it's like literally going into your overpacked house and it's like, oh my God, what a treasure, I didn't know this
right.
book. And then you start unloading it yeah. and it's just an amazing process.
You actually receive it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And yes, that's it. That's the mm-hmm. process of being actually able to receive it in mm-hmm. the, mm-hmm. in the opening and really offering,
yes.
saying something yeah. you know, in that way.
Yeah, and we were talking about this in another context the other day, but then as you said that, I also saw that then in revealing it, especially if it's in a, you know, Sangha setting, that everyone benefits from the peace that each of us is seeing of, because all we're doing is just revealing an ego process. Yeah. Chances are we can all relate to it. Uh-huh. And each of us keeps revealing what those ego processes are, and we collectively see more and more and more about it and realize that isn't us. It's
yes.
not me. It's not authenticity.
Yes. Yes, and even when we don't know that that ego process has been going on, somebody's, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've had this experience where someone said something years ago,
uh-huh.
you know, and yeah. then I'll have an experience and that
will come back.
That will come back. Yeah. And it's like, oh, okay. That's it. Yeah.
yeah.
It's just a beautiful yeah. kind of experience of whole mind or something,
yeah.
you know, the one.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Penny, and then we'll check in over here.
Sort of along these lines, of that sense of I'm taking up people's time or something like that. I'm just seeing it as one of the ways, either here or any place, one of the ways in which we separate.
Uh-huh.
You know, that
yes. right.
that all we're doing at any given moment is just what we're doing. And
yeah.
if what I'm doing is assisting someone, that's what I'm doing.
Right.
And if what I'm doing is receiving assistance, that's what I'm doing, and they're not different.
Yeah.
You know, I remember one time, a number of years ago, when I was in a kind of a bad place, and I was checking in with Sherry a lot. At more than one point, I said, you know, I'm sorry to take up all this time, kind of. And remember, at one point, she said, Penny, this is what I do.
Right.
And it did two things. One was it got me out of conditioning in two ways. One was that I wasn't taking up her time,
right.
and two, I wasn't therefore special because I was taking up her time.
Because uh-huh.
yeah. conditioning will play it both
ways.
Either
yeah. side, yeah.
And but all she was pointing out is this is what she does. And then what that made clear to me was, in this particular state that I'm in, this is what I do.
Yes.
I call,
right.
I reach out.
Yes.
And it's just so helpful to break down those distinctions.
Yeah, yeah. So it's not me being aided by you.
Right.
It's just life-lifing in this moment.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is.
Whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. And it gets me out of that kind of separation. It gets me out of feeling like, because the karmic thing for me is don't take up other people's time and space. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it gets me out of that one, because if they're in that time and space, then maybe that's what they're about. You
yeah.
know, that's what they're about.
Yeah.
And it also it helps me in certain situations to slow down into, suppose I do have to describe something or explain something,
mm-hmm.
or have it explained.
Uh-huh.
It's very helpful to just get to, well, that's what we're doing now.
Right.
Rather than that urgency, oh, I've got to get through this. And certainly gets us out of that, I should have known this.
Yeah. And truly, I mean, actually being present to what's happening, I mean, is so much more joyful and happy and,
mm-hmm.
you know, relaxed and than to rush through it,
mm-hmm.
you know, to the next thing, because mm-hmm. I'm going, where?
Mm-hmm.
Where am I going?
Yeah, and to to get that that's all that's going on also gets us out of the whole, you know, so we're doing this activity, but meanwhile there is this, you know, there's this drama playing in our heads about the activity. This is layer upon layer upon the activity.
Yeah.
It's so much simpler to just do the activity and enter into the drama.
Yeah, it reminds me of, I remember once I was recording about, I don't know, it was outside the schedule, and I was going to meditate, and I was going to set my timer, you know, to meditate with a certain length of time. And I could feel this push to rush through it.
Mm-hmm.
Rush through a timed meditation. But there, but that's what ego's trying to get us to do. You know, to rush through to what?
When I'm sitting in meditation, keeping track of the breaths, conditioning will tell me if I breathe faster, it will go faster. Yeah, it does the same thing.
Yeah. Yep.
Anna. I'm seeing a lot about not taking anything personally and the privileged environment.
Mm.
And it's it began with looking at that process of you know, second guessing expression or how life gets expressed through a form.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that what if that was that, or it should have been more like that, or what, or really, and just, you know, it being offered, that's not for you to be concerned about. Mm-hmm. It's not for you to be concerned about how life comes through this form, and how about a place of use me, love, just use me.
Yeah.
Instead of the ego, oh yeah, but not like that, right?
So that was funny. I mean, you need to shave off that edge a little.
And it dropped in. Gosh, that is the essence of the privileged environment.
Mm.
Letting the intelligence that animates come through without the ego process of pestering it and questioning it.
Yeah.
And that life, use me, that really is
the essence of the privileged environment. Yeah, yeah. And that each of us is left to have that experience, knowing we're not going to be interfered with from, quote, each other.
Yes.
But what you're talking about is also internally.
Internally.
To hold that, to give the privilege to the human of just letting the experience of life living, in this case, her, without that second guessing. Well, no, not that. I mean, it wasn't quite. And
Yeah, creating the privileged environment here for life to come through.
Mm-hmm.
And
and what a great honoring of life that is.
Yeah.
You know, not standing outside of life, second guessing how it's presenting.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was all.
That was just me. Seems like plenty.
Yeah, and just deep gratitude for the opportunity to have been on retreat.
Uh-huh.
Which was that space for that to be experienced really deeply in the bones.
There's something extraordinary about, so the New Year's retreat is the largest retreat we do in any given year, and to have that many people in relatively small spaces, you know, during the day, and to have that level of stillness and privilege and quiet, and that we can have such a tremendous support, so many people in such a concentrated way practicing with the space, with the space to have such an amazing amount of attention inward.
Yeah.
It's a great gift.
Yeah, and it reminds me of something that came up on open air recently. You know, it's a gift to the whole practice, it's a gift to the whole world.
Yes.
That stillness and privileged environment is offered to let life come through.
Yeah, as you said that, I just have this image of that each person leaves retreat and is sort of a steward going off into the ripple effects of that, going all over the country, all over the world.
Yeah.
Thank you. Kevin.
Definitely want to confront conditionings, fear of speaking, and also really just from a place of deep sincerity, I really wanted to express how grateful I am, privileged and just honored I've been to spend this time with this group of people doing this work in this place. It's it's really extraordinary, mm-hmm. the level of willingness and dedication, devotion.
Mm-hmm. And I know you're owning all those projections.
I am. Thank you for pointing that out, but I am.
You might not want to, but that's okay. No. As Jen pointed out, we don't need to take that personally.
Yes. Yes, and what a sense of getting sort of a toehold in that process of disidentification and not taking things personally, not taking things perfectly either, right? That's part of the same process, I think. I wanted to explore the part of the short recitation, mm-hmm. that if I'm suffering, it's because I'm choosing something over ending suffering. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's one that some days I just get it so totally, mm-hmm. and I guess it's just it arises. I receive that when I say it out loud in many different ways. Sometimes conditioning will beat me with that and say, yeah.
You're choosing something else.
Yeah, it takes it to the content level and it'll mm-hmm. say, you have a certain belief system around diet or something and what's a good diet and mm-hmm. And you chose something against that, and so this is an example of something, and it can quickly lead to feeling bad, mm-hmm. and it's devious because it's built around a moment of what seems when I'm identified like a moment of clarity. It seems like seeing something which was done or some pattern which mm-hmm. I engage in, mm-hmm. and seeing so it's a matter of choice.
Right. Well, and if, I don't want to derail you, but if I'm understanding what you're saying, there may well have been a moment of clarity in that, right? Mm. So I see that I made a choice. I see that that's actually not what I really wanted to choose. And potentially in that moment, suffering is ended. Because in that clarity, I see, and on we go. But that there's a process that ego takes it over to beat you with it. Well, you're choosing that, and that's why you're suffering, and which is only meant to perpetuate the suffering. Mm. Whereas in that moment of clarity, I mean, if I'm following what you're saying, potentially if we stay right there and we don't go to the feeling bad, there's a ton of freedom in that. Mm.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is. It seems like there's that. I mean, it is built to sustain and perpetuate that suffering. I'm looking at something that was discussed a while back about feeling bad being the payoff for many of those choices.
Right.
And
if we don't feel bad,
yeah.
ego's kind of left with, what?
Wait.
Like, I just picture it, like it's left in the dust and you've gone on. It's like, wait, hang on. You know, that... Yeah. That was what you're
Didn't
supposed
you
to
notice this thing?
Exactly.
Like, aren't you
feeling
attention?
Terrible?
Yeah.
Come on. I mean,
yeah.
That's the whole point. If you're not going to feel bad, there's no point in us making you make that choice.
But, and I'm not sure what... There's also something which is likely conditioning telling me, like, if I understood, mm-hmm. if I had more clarity and understanding around that line, that somehow... somehow things would be right, mm-hmm. and they're not right now. It's just mm-hmm. kind of funny now that I phrase it that way. But mm-hmm. There, it's some, you know, when it's not about the content,
yeah.
when that choice, I'm just looking around what that is to, what does that mean? You
uh-huh.
know, what is that? And I'm just interested to get some guidance around others' experience of that.
And it sounds like that. With some frequency, you have your own experience. But sometimes you're reading that line in the daily recollection and it really hits somewhere. And other times it sounds like as you're going around, you suddenly realize, that's happened. I'm choosing something over ending suffering. There's been a choice made that leads towards suffering instead of away. Hmm. But that clarity is where we want it. That's what we want to practice, right? And at least in my experience, it's not something we can think about, figure out, plan, anticipate. It's just that practice of being here. And, you know, that's part of why we have recording and listening, and we say that recitation with every single meditation, is that it's like it becomes available to us. You know, we talk about that insight needs experience. So we say it over and over and over because now it's in there. So as I'm going around, I don't need to think about that really, but it just drops in, like Rebecca was saying. You know, so I'm practicing along, and then suddenly I have an experience and something that someone said 3 years ago, it's in there, and it pings on that, you know, that touchstone, that.
Yeah, something just came and then it left. Yes.
Because one of the things for me that I love about that line is that it's kind of a simple check-in, in the sense, because it really is true, at least in my experience, if there's suffering, I'm choosing something over ending suffering. And so to check in, you know, when we're in one of those really hard places, okay, what am I choosing? And if we really just sit with that, we can see it. Well, I want to be right. Or I want to be loved. Or I want something. There's something that the ego wants. And it's convincing me that I want it. And by clinging that to that, by wanting that, by, you know, that process of clinging of I need to have, of I, whatever it is, they're suffering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It seems the critical piece is being present to be available to the choice. And that's, you know, there's a way in which I can be told that, you know, there are some states in which of unawareness, like for instance in just being late or something slipping, it's not, doesn't seem to be as much a matter of making a choice.
Right.
You know, I'm going to choose to show up 5 minutes late. That rarely happens.
Right. I think I'll be late now.
Yeah.
But the beautiful thing about it, again, if I'm following what you're saying, to me is that the minute we come to, there's the choice. Mm. That's the choice point. Mm. And that's the amazing razor's edge that we can practice at. Because the minute we do come to, there's this huge, wide open choice. Wrong, bad, you were unconscious, you know, whatever, all the self-hatred. Or, thank you, got it, and on we go. Yeah?
Yes. Yes, that seems, I had more, but that seems a perfect place to segue. Yeah, thank you.
Well, go ahead.
I love that experience of the wisdom of practice kind of like slowly percolating down through the being. Mm. It's just such a patient process.
That is such a good word for it.
Yeah.
And to cultivate that patience for the process. And even the honoring it, you know, honoring that percolating down into the, not needing to rush it or push it, or it reminds me of what Anna was saying, you know, kind of the cultivating the perfect, like honoring that perfection of its process, of its timing.
Yeah, the timing is perfect. When I first came to practice, there was this like this struggle, like I want it to work now.
Yeah.
You know, and I want to get it now, and it just didn't work like that.
Right, but that was part of it.
Yeah,
the wanting it to work now and going through that's part of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just so fun, you know, now however many years kind of in having the experience of that still comes up.
Yep.
Like there's still that ego, like, I want this to be resolved now, you know?
Yep.
And then there's just, but there's also this experience of out of the blue, just cruising along in a life circumstance.
Yep.
And there's just wisdom that just bubbles up.
Yep.
The, you know, the mentor's, you know, kindness or insight is just available, and it blows my mind. It's like, wow, where did that come from?
Yeah.
Waking up, getting out of bed in the morning, and just like loving kind words just being right there available. Like, wow, that is just amazing. What a gift. Yeah. And it really feels like honoring that process, and that it is the kind of slowly letting it filter all the way in that makes it available at that really deep,
that's right,
almost, I was going to say unconscious level, but it's kind of like, it's not volitional, or it's just available.
Yes.
Naturally available.
Yeah, it's just naturally available, well put. And it can feel like, as you describe it, kind of out of the blue. I mean, where did that come from?
Yeah.
And yet, it came from so much practice.
Yeah.
So much practice. And just that quiet, subtle, percolating in, percolating in, percolating in. And then we have those moments where we realize, wow, that's really different.
Yeah. And that is just so fun. It's whenever that happens, it's like, oh my gosh, yes, thank you. And then it's just like rededicating to, yes, you know, I'm aware that that was a moment of grace.
Yeah.
And there is, you know, thank you so much.
Yeah.
And thank you to the person, like you said, that does all of that work.
Yeah.
That thank you to the practice and the teachings, and thank you to the person who takes advantage of that and diligently works daily to make that a part of his reality.
Yeah.
It's
it reminds me of that little thing of enlightenment is an accident, and we practice to make ourselves accident prone. So we can kind of we can't make it happen, and yet all of that dedicated practice is what provides that opening for the grace to access us.
Yeah. And so some days it's like, oh, just full of grace, it's bubbling up right now. And other days it's just not there at all. It's just the grind, and it's like ego doing this and like But just continue to show up and keep the commitments and trusting the process that it's there. It's slowly percolating in. And then when it's needed, it bubbles up.
Yeah. And that we can guess that the grace is there all the time. Mm. And that there are days where it's really covered over. Mm-hmm. And it takes me back to what Jan started us with, why it's so helpful to have that tool of, wow, ego's not feeling the grace today. And ego's this today, and ego's that today. And that even though that's the experience that's here today, and I don't need to push that away or make that wrong or any of that, to me, there's in that labeling it, ego is this, ego is that, there's an acceptance of it without an ownership of it. Without it's mine, or I don't like it, or it shouldn't be that way, or...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that's such a great reminder. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not owning it. And just seeing, this ego's struggling. You know, ego's going up against, ramming up against practice today.
Or, yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. That's part of being human.
Yeah.
Ashwini.
Well, I'm having that experience where, life is gearing up to talk.
Uh-huh.
And hands are cold.
I like that. Life is gearing up.
Butterflies are really, there's a fluttering of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And, there's a sense of pounding, right? Mm-hmm. And I was just sitting with that experience because it's not my experience when I usually speak.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of my job description is to do that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm looking at is how much heightened awareness there is if I can be with that moment
mm-hmm.
of the being in that body, and being in the body, and knowing, and mm-hmm. it's like sitting with a warm cat that's purring, right? You know the life sentience in it, mm-hmm. and to have that awareness of the same life force mm-hmm. and intelligence that's mm-hmm. in the body,
uh-huh.
and it's often dismissed by ego as fear or discomfort,
uh-huh.
but to know that it is that place that was referred to earlier, the environment in which all of the crust has been stripped away,
uh-huh.
so the raw
intelligence
can express.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so actually having an entire group about just being with that experience, no matter what's going to come out of the mouth.
Yeah, truly. And the way you describe it, it's such a sense of being alive.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
And how ego wants us to miss that by labeling it.
Yes.
Fear or, and then we have to do something about that and not have that and get rid of that. But I mean, when you use that metaphor of holding the cat, it makes it so clear that it's just a life experience.
Yeah.
It's just the movement of life here.
And you know, it's part of what drops in when I sit with that intensity is that the entire ego processes to miss the intensity.
Right.
That there's fear that this right. body, this being, this container mm-hmm. can't hold all that energy and it has right. to be dissipated.
Yeah.
And yet to just sit with it is just such a wonderful
wow.
experience to feel the butterflies and
yeah.
to feel that
yeah.
cold sensation, that clammy feeling, and just embrace the fact that that's actually the most alive I feel
yeah.
is wow. when I'm challenged by to let go so completely
mm.
that what comes out is completely raw,
mm.
not produced.
Yeah.
Not thought through,
yeah.
completely probably incomprehensible, and life's willing. There's so much energy that life wants to put it out there,
mm-hmm.
regardless of what every ego might think
yeah, right.
about how stupid that sounds or
right.
how mm-hmm. unfinished that sounds.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
What is that about?
Yeah, and you know how much that just opens up. Freedom for the whole life experience. Because of course, what ego is doing for each of us is to have us avoid, no matter how small, you know, it could be, you know, all of these things are okay, but as long as these little things are not okay, and we can live in relationship to those, and those could happen, and you have to avoid that, and you can't be in circumstances where that, but if those things become an expression of being alive, and we actually can enjoy that in the sense of, not even I want that, or you know, maybe we do get there, but just that sense of it's perfectly okay to have those experiences, and that there's even a joy in being allowed to have those experiences, then we're no longer beholden to ego, anything, you know, we're free, because we don't have to avoid any experience.
It is the sensation of freedom, actually,
mm-hmm.
because there's no clinging to what's going to come out,
uh-huh.
like there's a hyper presence.
Uh-huh.
And the thing that I was looking at this morning that was percolating all night this morning
mm-hmm.
is how much I enjoy or how much practice has assisted me in loving the feeling of I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Because that's what it is,
mm-hmm.
that I don't know, that mm-hmm. it's the safest place
wow.
for me, within
right.
quotes.
Right, mm-hmm. wow.
And
that's big.
And to really, I'm reading two things that challenge everything I do know right now. And how much I'm enjoying. I finally got to that place where I want that encounter. I want
to be pushed up against
about a topic that, you know, I'm religious.
Uh-huh.
And yet what it questions is faith. Like, what does that mean?
Mm. Yeah.
And the only place I can get to is, I don't know. And that is faith.
Yeah. So good.
You know,
yeah.
And I mean, I grew up in a tradition where thou art that is the water we swim in. You know? So, you know, as a 2-year-old to prostrate in front of a stone or hug a tree as worship isn't something you question.
Mm.
Right? And it's so to me, that's non-separate duality is not just an intellectual concept, it's something that I lived without questioning.
Wow.
Because that's how I grew up.
Yeah.
But then to be, and then so there's a sort of a familiarity
mm-hmm.
with it,
mm-hmm.
which isn't the same as being
yeah.
alive to what it
yeah.
means.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. Yeah. So that what I hear you saying is that for each of us, to be almost like pushed up against it, which brings us actually conscious to it.
Mm-hmm.
And that and being pushed up against that, what you're calling faith, that actually deepens the faith in the I don't, what we get to is I don't know. We don't get to, well, I know, I really do believe this. And I really, what we get to is I don't know. And that is the faith.
Yeah, an interesting thing that I have been looking at around all of these different texts that I've been, textbooks, whatever you want to call it, mm-hmm. looking at is, the place where it closes me down mm-hmm. is exactly the place we've been talking about, mm-hmm. where there is an element of personality.
In other words, when you read it, you feel it bring up an element of personality in you? Is that what
you're
saying?
Or I project this
personality. Or you project it. I see.
In other words, the belief that it challenges mm-hmm. is that it has to be impersonal. You know? And so it's just interesting to watch how much the belief in non-separate duality is so core that when it is challenged, it shakes it loose.
I mean, that, I don't even know if I can articulate it, but what you're saying just so beautifully underlines that, you know, we are not here to create and cling to beliefs, no matter what they are.
That's right.
No matter what they are, because it would be easy for people in Western culture to, without realizing it, kind of go to, yeah, duality is wrong and it's bad and we need to believe in non-separate reality. And what essentially what you're pointing at is, no, it's a process of being an I don't know.
Yeah, and the one last thing that dropped in, which is, you know, it's a Joseph Campbell quote. He says, I don't have faith, I have experience. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so long as it's not mm-hmm. my experience, so long as it is an experience, mm-hmm. you know, it's mm-hmm. in the sense of that resonance that we were talking about, that something lands mm-hmm. and therefore it feels like truth.
Right.
And so long as there isn't an idea made out of that, and there's an openness mm-hmm. to that being different,
exactly.
the next moment it lands.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because what lands next might be completely opposite
right.
to what resonated before.
Right.
And the process that I was watching, that from that place of, I don't want that, mm-hmm. in the sense of the Silla of selfless compassion is, what I want is never to be closed down to anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because life in some senses is inclusive mm-hmm. to such an extent that anything that shuts out on the basis of belief or the basis of faith
mm-hmm.
is what I want to let go of.
Right.
And to have things that challenge that all the time mm-hmm. is the greatest gift.
Yeah. Wow. Because we don't, only an I would carry forward what I've seen, what I've experienced in this moment to try to drag it into the next one.
Yeah. Well, also, it actually, what I recognize is in going to those places of no, mm-hmm. because that's not true for me, or I don't believe it, or whatever else, is that there's no compassion in mm. that it might be helpful to somebody uh-huh. for that to,
yeah.
in terms of it's comforting
uh-huh.
or it provides meaning
yeah.
or whatever else it might do,
yeah.
but not to close us down,
yeah.
you know, yeah. not to mm-hmm. keep that place open.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons I didn't pursue a study or practice of Hinduism is because it's such an absolutist, mm. from my perspective, religion.
Mm.
There is an absolute definition of God.
Mm. Mm.
And mm. to be in this practice when everything is questioned,
yeah.
there's nothing that's absolute.
Yeah.
It's just so, in that, it's not even worth asking the question.
Yeah.
Because that which asks the question to define is what we need to let go of.
Yeah.
We might as well just be in this place of letting the heart hammer in intelligent response and have that experience of what it is that God is supposed to be.
Yeah. Wow. It's such a, as you say that, it's such an on your toes practice, isn't it?
I always love it. I mean, I just love it. It's truly the middle way, right?
Yeah.
Let's not ask that question, but let's have the experience,
yeah.
because any experience of consciousness is God.
Any experience of consciousness is God.
Mm-hmm. Whatever it is.
Whatever
and
it is.
To live in that, wow, what a gift.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Joan, did I see your hand?
Yeah. I'm watching a process happening right now that's very familiar of, stay quiet, mm-hmm. be safe,
Safe with me back here.
Yeah, right. you know, you don't belong here. Somebody's going to come up and tell you to leave. Very familiar stuff.
All self-hating, essentially.
Yeah. So, I don't know that I really have anything to talk about except just being grateful to have this place to come to. And
the willingness to come.
The urge driving over here was because my GPS got me lost was to, well, I'm not supposed to come.
That's a sign from God. That's over here. And then as we say, it's a sign from God that I persevered.
Yeah, just very grateful to have this refuge.
Yeah, and to have a place where you can put up your hands and say, ego's saying this, ego's telling me not to talk, and to have the experience of being able to speak anyway.
Yeah.
To open the doors to the heart and to not choose that conversation.
Yeah.
Which is, that's the practice in a nutshell, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's what we're doing in every moment, is opening those doors to the heart and not being in that conversation. Yeah. And it can take a million different forms. You know, when we're in group, it looks like putting up our hands, we've got the recorder, you know, we've got all the practice opportunities that there are, but they're all manifestations of that, of opening, as Ashwini was just saying beautifully, being in this moment, that aliveness of being in this moment, and not choosing the static illusion of being separate from life up in that conversation.
The conversation is very strong.
Yes.
And I see that it keeps me from listening.
Yeah.
That it's, you know, it's so intense and so absorbs my attention that I'm not actually hearing.
Yeah.
I have to keep bringing myself back to to hear.
And I imagine you can get a sense of why it needs to be so loud and so incessant for your attention. Because the minute we're here, what happens? Our heart breaks open. Right? We so relate to everything everyone's saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we feel that joy that people are pointing at, that aliveness, that we resonate with the experiences that they're talking about of being stuck in ego. All of those things so resonate with our heart that if we're here, if we listen for even a moment, then ego's going to lose control.
Mm-hmm.
So the magic of putting up the hand.
Yeah. Thank you.
Renee, you have a few more minutes.
Yeah, in relation to what Ashwini was saying, it just helped me see something that I hadn't seen. And as I was driving over here, there was worry about something.
Mm-hmm.
And
ego was worried.
Ego was worried. And what I saw about that was the traditional reaction would be to push it away and to feel bad about it or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you know, the normal karmic process.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, what dropped in was, this worry is about someone who really cares about something, and or someone,
mm-hmm.
and that is the experience of God.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
That is the consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
There's something. So, the worry is labeled bad,
right? Or even labeled worry.
Labeled worry, and
mm-hmm.
yeah, and underneath that is something that isn't bad, and it's a
yes.
It's something you can be with,
yes,
in compassion,
yeah,
you know, and an experience of it could be an experience of love and compassion,
exactly,
instead of an experience of
exactly
suffering,
yeah,
yeah.
Boy, that is so big, isn't it?
Wow.
That actually, if I'm tracking what you're saying, that this is not an experience of worry, this is an experience of love and compassion,
yeah. mm-hmm.
deep love. Deep compassion. And kind of what I project onto that is then a compassion for the person who's having that
mm-hmm.
love. And, you know, so maybe, I don't know what the content is, but maybe there's someone I really love who's in a situation that feels painful or,
mm-hmm.
you know, headed in a painful direction or that sort of thing. And there's a deep loving kind of a wishing
mm-hmm.
that I could take it away or that I could do something about that. And that what, again, what I project that ego does with that is to lay over the illusion of control over it,
mm-hmm.
as if I could, as if I should, as if that's going to be helpful, you know, all those things. And what that, the only thing that does is to cover over that deep sense of love and compassion.
And to go in and be with the, be in the love and compassion.
Exactly.
For all of that.
Yeah. Because that's, if there's anything to, if there's any action, if there's anything, you know, I'm avoiding the word done, to be done, but if there's anything that's going to happen in that, it's going to be from that place of love and compassion. That's the thing that will make a difference.
It's turning the tables on it. Yeah. You know, it's turning the process upside down.
Exactly.
And taking the middle way, you know, yeah. Also because it's, you know, not going that way, not going that way, but being right there with it,
yeah.
Experiencing it. You know, it is holding the cat.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's that, I'm going to hold this in love and compassion.
Yeah.
I see the goodness in it. You know, and you just keep with that process.
Yes.
Over and over and over again.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then that's what everyone in this situation receives,
mm-hmm.
right? So instead of the, we were talking on retreat, of the one side of the duality, the other side of the duality, we bring our hands together in Gesho, mm-hmm. there's that oneness mm-hmm. and that middle way that we were speaking about a few minutes ago. And then what's received, what I receive in that, what anyone I'm interacting with receives in that is the love and compassion. Instead of that worry, or that, you know, however ego's going to express that, got to control, got to make it different, got to, something's
clamp
wrong,
down,
clamp
careful.
Down,
yeah.
Be careful, mm-hmm. yeah. Mm-hmm. Which in that, there's an assumption of something wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
And in that place of Gesho, if there's an assumption, it's that nothing's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But there's great love and great compassion. Mm-hmm. And a not knowing.
And right? Not knowing, yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe this is just the best thing to have happen. And if I'm right here with it, you know, I can be of any assistance that life might want me to be of assistance with.
And I also want to express the excitement
yeah.
about the process.
Yes.
Just how much I do love that.
Yeah.
Just that whole practice of looking at it and hearing it. And having the insight that transforms it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the word that kept coming up for me.
Yeah,
yeah, it transforms it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we go from, again, that instead of, oh no, here's the worry again. Mm-hmm. And I hate when I'm worried and I shouldn't be worried. You know, that's an ego process. I shouldn't worry.
Yeah.
But instead, when I'm just present to it, it transforms.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes this huge insight of, wow, well, you know what's going on here is just a deep love,
mm-hmm.
a deep caring.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you all.